You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Working-class neighborhood of Barcelona for students ages 12 to 16. The boy is under age 14. What we know is that it was a male teacher who died. The male teacher was killed with a weapon that authorities say had a blade, but they're not saying precisely what kind of weapon it was. We're also hearing from Spanish media that the boy was carrying a crossbow.
He says it's not clear what triggered the deadly attack.
This kind of attack is extremely rare in Spain.
Congressional negotiators are meeting today to begin ironing out a Republican budget blueprint. Both House and Senate Republicans have endorsed major cuts to programs like Medicare, Medicaid, and highway projects as a way to bring the federal ledger into balance within a decade without raising taxes. Powerful explosions have rocked the Yemeni capital, shattering windows as Saudi-led airstrikes target suspected missile sites held by Shiite rebels. Saudi Arabia and allied countries began launching airstrikes March 26, hoping to roll back the rebels known as Houthis, who seized Sana'a in September and have overrun large parts of the country. Western governments and Sunni Arab countries accuse Houthis of receiving arms from Iran, which they deny. Al-Qaeda affiliates have also gained ground there. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, and as soon as I get the weather up here, I will read it for you. Let's see. This afternoon is a chance of showers, mainly after 4 p.m. It's mostly cloudy with a high near 69. Southeast winds around 9 miles an hour, and the chance of precipitation is 30%. New precipitation amounts of less than a tenth of an inch is possible. Tonight, showers, thunderstorms before 3 a.m., and then showers likely. Low will be around 52, southeast winds around 8 miles an hour, and there'll be an 80% chance of precipitation. And new rainfall amounts will be between a quarter and a half of an inch. Tuesday, slight chance of showers before 9 a.m., then partly sunny with a high near 66, west winds 10 to 15 miles per hour, and the chance of precipitation 20%. Tuesday night will be partly cloudy with a low around 43. West winds are 6 to 9 miles an hour. You are listening to Mental Health Matters, and I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we're very privileged to have with us today Leslie Gable, who's the co-executive director of Hunterdon Prevention Resources, and Jerry Calavecchio.
Oh, good job.
You got it.
I said it. How
Perfect.
About that? I won't say it again because I'll mess it up, so I'll just go by Jerry from now on, who's the senior director of Hunterdon Prevention Resources. And ladies, it's really a pleasure to have you here. I know you've been here before and everything, but it's always great to have you because you're always bringing topics that public needs to know about. And now I know, Leslie, you're still the project director of Safe Communities Coalition?
That is correct.
Okay. Will you want to just explain it and how it works to those that may
sure.
not know?
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you for having us back. We're so appreciative. The Safe Communities Coalition of Hunterdon and Somerset, we actually, Hunterdon Prevention Resources manages both of these coalitions. So one covers Hunterdon County, one covers Somerset. In fact, Jerry, my colleague here, covers the Somerset Coalition.
Okay.
And what we do is we focus on reducing drug and alcohol abuse across all age spans. But in particular for alcohol, we're focusing on ages 18 and under.
Okay. You find that that's a lot?
Well, in Hunterdon County, we unfortunately are above the state average of those that are in treatment. 49% of those that are in treatment are there for alcohol. So unusual as rest of the state is more for the opiates.
Okay.
So we have we do have a higher than the state average.
How's Somerset compared to that?
Somerset, too, is, I believe, they're right at the national average, the state average for underage drinking. So, you know, still an issue.
I will just to clarify that stat. That's all ages. That's not just youth.
No, right.
Yeah,
no,
it's
I understand.
All ages that are there. Alcohol really is the number. When we're talking just about youth, those, again, defining youth as 18 and under, alcohol still is the primary drug of choice as far as what is abused. As far as the opiates, which is the heroin and, prescription drugs, the highest age range is typically 18 to 25-year-olds are most susceptible, most vulnerable. But all ages are affected, unfortunately, with the heroin.
Do you find that drug use dovetails underage drinking?
Well,
like progressing down the road a little bit?
You know what? That's exactly what happens. No one starts out just using heroin. And, you know, too often, Jerry and I, when we're out in the community, we find parents saying, oh, it's just alcohol or it's just pot, it's just weed, no big deal. But what happens is as their perception of harm starts to lower, saying, see, alcohol's not so bad, using marijuana, oh, it's not so bad. Well, what happens is their perception of harm of other things then starts to decrease and their likelihood of trying some of these other drugs increase. It's just like the old, you know, one of the stats will show you, the older you are in delaying using alcohol, you're less likely to become an alcoholic. And that's why we work so tirelessly to make sure that our kids, our youth, are protected. You know, their brain is not developed until the age of 25. They cannot make the type of decisions, and especially you put some of these other substances in it, it becomes very difficult to make smart choices.
Right. It just seems like it's, when I was younger, we go across the state line to New York State and go to a bar and, you know, because the was 18 and New Jersey was 21 and, you know, you had your phony ID, you go up there and do it, you know. But it just seems like it's so mushroomed so much over the last few years, basically. And it just shocks me.
Well,
you know?
One of the things, though, I will say that we've done a really good job, just not in the state of New Jersey, but across America, is there are less car accidents as far as youth driving intoxicated. From the time, from when they were kids are born, we're always talking to them, don't drink and drive. I'm not saying that doesn't happen. We know it does, but the numbers have gone down significantly. Unfortunately, though, the number of kids drinking still isn't decreasing locally. They're just doing it in private properties. They're not drinking it. And our youth have done, so we've done a good job in certain areas. And the one thing I just want to get it off the table immediately is, you know, again, Jerry and I will hear people say, well, you know, we can send them to war at 18. You know, why aren't we letting them drink alcohol? You know, I'll definitely not ever get into a debate about what age appropriate is to send someone to the military. But we will say that 21 saves lives. In the state of New Jersey, when there was a push to decrease the drinking age from 21 back to 18, because a lot of kids were dying on college campuses because they were due to alcohol poisoning, what the state of New Jersey did is they implemented a law, passed a law called the 911 Lifeline legislation. And what that does is it gives kids the ability that they could call for help and receive amnesty under the law. And they put that in place to make sure that kids knew that they could call for help and that they didn't fear any types of reciprocity from doing that. And I will say it's that important in the state of New Jersey to protect our youth that they pass such a law.
Yeah, it's amazing because I graduated high school when I was 17 and I went in the service. And I was 17 when I was there first. And through most of boot camp, I was, you know, basic training and all that jazz. I was 17. So I, you know, and ironically, I had, it was about, I was 20. I had just come back from Vietnam, and we were going to get married, my wife and I. And my wife is 9 months older than I am, so she was already 21, and I was still 20. They wouldn't let me get married without my mother's signature. I says, there's something wrong with this picture. I just came back from a combat zone, and you're telling me I need my mother's signature to get married. You know, it was all right at 17 to join the service, but I have to get my mother's signature because I'm not 21 to get married. that just didn't make sense to me, and it still doesn't, you know.
And I don't disagree. That's why, you know, people will say that a lot, you know, right, Jerry, to both of us. And, you know, I will not get into, like, a debate, because I can tell you we both have sons that are 18 years old now, you know, and you know, they still are having troubles as freshmen, you know, right, at college, trying to still make, you know, good choices. I can't imagine how difficult it must be for those that are, you know, protecting our company, yeah, and how grateful we are to them. But when it comes to substances, we don't.
Oh, I'm not
that,
disputing, yeah, the fact. You know, I'm just saying that.
We'll say that, you know. You know, we have a lot of people that like to bring that up, and I will just say it right now, is that we know 21 has saved lives, so many people's lives across the United States, right, and we don't want to go back and do that. So we've put laws in place in the state of New Jersey so we can make sure if somebody needs help that they'll call for help and not worry about the law.
Right.
And I can tell you in Hunterdon County, people have done that already. So, you know, sometimes parents say, oh, you're giving permission for kids to drink. I said, no, we're giving kids the ability, if they need help, that they're going to pick up the phone and not just leave somebody that might
make the right decision to save,
exactly,
someone's life.
Right, mm-hmm, exactly. You want to update us on the drug RX prevention thing? Okay, Jerry, it's up to you.
Currently here in Hunterdon County, we have 6 permanent drop-off boxes, and the purpose of the permanent drop-off boxes is a way that you can safely dispose of unused or unwanted prescription medications. This way, they reduces the availability to our youth and our young adults of getting these prescription medications, specifically opioids, and becoming addicted to them. So some of our locations are in Frenchtown Police Department, Holland Township Police Department, Reddington Township Police Department, Lambertville, and Tewksbury Police Departments, as well as the Justice Center down in Flemington on 65 Park Avenue. This Saturday, April 25th, from 10 to 2, we are having what we're calling a spring clean your medicine cabinet, and all of the mentioned locations will be open and accepting your prescription meds that you'd like to get rid of from 10 to 2. And the Justice Center, which is normally not open on Saturday, will be open this Saturday also from 10 to 2.
Okay. Now,
accept.
Normally, outside of this Saturday, when they're all going to be there, say 2 weeks from now,
mm-hmm,
is there just a box by the police station and they just drop it, or it has to be someone there from the police station when they drop it?
Yes, they are open as the hours of the police departments, and they are, okay, manned. So they are, there is a police officer there at all times, and the same as in the Justice Center.
But nobody is asking questions. These are,
right,
drop
no,
them
I,
in
right,
just so people feel comfortable. The reason that they are manned is because they are highly addictive and very sought after. So it is required also by federal law that a police, it has to be guarded. It's not like you or I or can just have a drop-off box. It has to be. It's the requirements.
Well, I can understand that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, because of, like you said, the desire for it, you know, so on and so forth.
Well,
and, you know.
I tell you what, think of this. When we talk about availability, just to kind of give you an idea, right, in 2012, according to the CDC, in the United States, all right, there was enough prescriptions written that every American would have 75 prescriptions. Think of that statistic. We talk about availability of what's out there. And that was in 2012. So you can only, wow, imagine as the stats go up how significant the availability of these drugs and why we encourage, and the safety is 70% of kids start by looking in their home and their friends' medicine cabinets. That's, yeah, where they're getting it. That's the start. When we talk about no one jumps to being a heroin addict, the progression is alcohol, marijuana, then to prescription drugs, and then when they can't get the accessibility of the drugs any longer, they move on to heroin. And heroin is, we talk about cost, right? You're looking at anywhere between $5 and $10 for a bag of heroin locally.
Right, right.
And when the prescription drugs are a heck of a lot more money, and they're sold by individual pill.
Right.
So, you know, and that's why a lot of people have been saying to us, well, wow, if so many people are all of a sudden, you know, ODing on heroin, this is new. it's really not been new. We've been seeing this starting to develop, and why we've put in permanent prescription boxes and why we created documentary pills to heroin, which was over 2 years ago, is we could see this starting to develop as more availability, more trafficking of the prescription drugs. And when we talk about the opiates, just so our listeners can understand what that is, those are their painkillers like Oxys, Vicodin, Percocet. Those are the types of drugs. But the other types of addicted drugs are the anti-anxiety drugs like Xanax. That's a very popular drug. Again, people that will be sought after, the ADHD drugs. Those become popular during testing times because of the nature that it keeps you awake longer. People think you can study better, which, by the way, is not true. Also, young girls use those drugs sometimes as weight loss to help them.
Right.
Again,
right.
There are all different reasons why people start, but the fact is they get very addicted.
Have you ever seen the commercial where sometimes it's a woman that goes in to the bathroom and opens
medicine
up
cabinet.
The medicine cabinet?
Yeah.
Pardon me. And then the other side is her daughter or son or whatever.
Exactly right.
I think that's a pretty good commercial, actually.
It's a great commercial,
And sometimes it's an elderly man going in and, son on the other side or a grandson on the other side,
Right, or somebody who's been hurt in an accident.
Right,
It's how it starts. And I will say, you need to protect your home. We encourage people to lock up those medications because people, say, oh, my kids are not into that. They'll never do it. Well, it's the friends. It's the cleaning person. It's the person that comes to do maintenance on your house. These are, again, people ask for advice from us. You should lock them up.
And sometimes it is your kids, and you don't realize it.
I will tell you, people are shocked. They'll say, we never saw it coming. And they're such a great kid. They're all good people. I'm telling you, the majority of people that come in with these issues, nobody starts out to be a drug addict or a bad person that robs and steals. It just doesn't happen the way sometimes that they, really
portray it.
Really portray it, especially in the news. They will look like the nicest, kindest person that you can be, and the drugs turn them into a different path. And sometimes you ask them, it's just one try that did it. It's not like, I had to do this a few years of making a few decisions.
Exactly.
Everybody's genetics is different. You or I could try it once, and I could try it and be addicted, hooked right then and there.
Yeah.
And so you don't need to try it to find that out, and that's what I try to tell people. Don't make that decision. Don't go there.
Mm-hmm.
But they, Jerry had alluded to about injuries. When you deal with pain management, a lot of times people want to say, well, the doctors are writing too many scripts. Well, it's very, pain is really somewhat judgmental, right? Something that someone on a pain scale you might say is a 4 could be somebody else's 9.
Right.
And they have to try to manage that. And I will tell you, locally here in Hunterdon County, we've really been watching our doctors trying to really work together in the community, trying to do some really good things with education. The Hunterdon Medical Center, I will just point out, their pharmacy is a great partner of our coalition, constantly providing information out to the community about how to, dispose of their medications.
Right.
Also, ShopRite, Stop and Shop pharmacies. Really just want to give a big shout out to them because, again, they have all been trying to raise awareness, put posters up, encourage the people that are getting these prescriptions on how to dispose of them. Also, as I said, the medical center has been, really working well with our coalition and helping.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
And I know that everybody's pain tolerance is different.
Mm-hmm.
I had both my knees replaced, and I was in rehab, and they'd always come around with this, from 0 to 10, what's your pain?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it didn't hurt. I'd say 0. And they'd look at me, and they'd go, can't be 0.
Yeah.
It's got to be something. What? I'm sorry, it's not. What do you want me to say? It doesn't hurt, And they couldn't understand why, with a double knee replacement, that it didn't hurt. Well, I don't know, but it didn't, And I said, okay, 1,
Right.
I mean, And the fact is that they would ask me, the woman that was, like what they call them, the trainer or whatever, she said, Larry, do me a favor. She says, would you walk around the gym? I got to get these other two people and I got to help them up at a wheelchair and all that. And they're, in pain. I go and I'd walk around, and she'd be helping these other people. I was not in pain.
Everyone's different.
And everyone's different. Everybody's pain tolerance is different.
It is.
I will say this, the day after they operated, One of the nurses came in and she got me to stand up. That was the most excruciating pain I ever felt in my life. Mm-hmm. And I flopped back down on the bed and she says, well, you got two choices. You can get up again or, you know, I can bring somebody in and we'll pull you up. I, all right, you know, but it was just that initial time. And after that, it was fine. I, you know.
Well, and you know, people are different. I think the important thing, because I think sometimes people want to and push that there's just too many prescriptions. Well, you know what? It is. There are too many prescriptions out there. And we do see a trend and a change here, even in the state of New Jersey. We have something called the Prescription Monitoring Program, which is a voluntary program for pharmacists and doctors to be able to look up in the system because there are many people who are professional patients. They go doctor shopping to get the scripts so they right. can get for a few different reasons. One, they're either addicted themselves, or second, they're looking to make some money and sell these drugs on the street. So right. there's two different reasons. But just to give you an updated stat here, as of April 9th in the state of New Jersey, that 88.4% of doctors are now registered in this prescription monitoring program, where they could go in if somebody comes in and be able to take a look to see, when was the last time that they were prescribed Vicodin in our state. The really other great thing here is that, you know, a year ago, that number was a lot lower. Mm-hmm. So we've seen a lot more. They've really also streamlined, through the Attorney General's office, streamlined this prescription monitoring program. We've also now have data sharing with New York, Delaware, and Connecticut, which is great.
That's even better.
That's even better because we already know that people go across in Pennsylvania.
Sure.
Just to also highlight, Pennsylvania, by the way, is one of the top states as far as the amount of prescription drugs for narcotics is written. So we obviously want to try to do our job here and keep working with Pennsylvania to see if we can get some sharing with them. There are some bills that are also exciting that have been pushed through. Recently in March, with 74-0, you imagine going through assembly a bill that 74%, 74-0, 74 people passed and approved to make it mandated in the state for pharmacists to be required to be part of the prescription monitoring program. So that would be mandated.
Right.
You know what some doctors and pharmacists say is it really slows down their service levels. But you know, we know in the world of addiction that that we need to take that moment, and we know in our Pills to Heroin documentary, almost all of them, Jerry, right? Almost all of them were injured, and that's how they started with their addiction to prescription drugs. They didn't just think, oh, sure, let me just take it. But again, you and I could be totally different on how, you know, I take them, they make me sick. Some people take them, they really enjoy that feeling, and it's the coping. They start realizing they feel better and they don't have to necessarily face some of the things that they have to face.
Right.
But good news as far as our prescription monitoring program, doctors and, as I said, pharmacists all trying to work to take a look so we can cut down on this multiple, what would you call them, multiple, you know, issues of pain pills. So, like I said, our state, I really want to commend, especially locally here. We have a lot of folks that are really trying to support and help. A big shout out to our prosecutor's office.
Yes,
and
definitely.
Our sheriff in particular, the sheriff actually goes around to a lot of churches, senior citizen centers mm-hmm. on a regular basis to get these prescriptions. As seniors, it's very vulnerable. They have a lot of drugs they can't necessarily get out. So the sheriff will go to them. And again, he does this repeatedly.
Yeah, he'll even go to their homes to help pick, you know, pick up the medications if they're unable to get out to a permanent drop-off box.
And him and his sheriff are going to be there on Saturday, when a day when it's normally closed, to try and again encourage the community to get out there and drop off. There's also I think it's a 5-minute parking spot right out in the front of the Justice Center. You can park right there, walk in, drop them off. You don't have to go through metal detectors. There's no questions asked.
Right.
You just drop them in. So, but the prosecutor's office really helps support, and they're in charge of disposing these drugs. A big question people ask is, what do they do with all these drugs? They get incinerated.
Right.
So the prosecutor's office does that, coordinates that with these drop-off boxes to get rid of the drugs out of our county. So we've got a really great team of people between our coalition, our medical community. Our schools also are very supportive in getting posters up and information out so the parents can be made aware. Our faith leaders have done a good job. We have some information that's pushed out. Our faith leaders in our community help communicate ways to dispose of these drugs as well. So we're fortunate. We're very fortunate that we've got a lot of people trying to get rid of these drugs, get them out of the hands that could be abused.
Right, right. Pardon me. What is Narcan?
Narcan is actually a form of naloxone. And what naloxone is it basically reverses an opiate overdose. So if you're overdosing, say, on cocaine, naloxone, or Narcan is actually an injectable, a nasal spray. Naloxone is an injectable format. You will not be able to reverse the overdose. So it's meant to, it's just really geared only towards an opiate, which is affects that region of the brain for pain management. So what happens is it reverses it. When I say it's almost instant, it's almost instant. So some people might have seen it on TV where, you know, they put an injection in, or like I say, Narcan is a nose spray now, and it's almost instant. The person comes right back.
Isn't that what the police in Hunterdon have been using?
Because
I know there was in the paper a couple times where they
saved. Had a number of saves here in Hunterdon County as well as Somerset County.
And actually, Hunterdon Medical Center originally first partnered with the prosecutor's office to help provide the funding for Narcan. Again, Narcan is that in nasal spray, because naloxone's been around for a long time. It's not new. But you can imagine it's not the easiest drug to also carry around in an injectable format. But a nasal spray is. But you have to also, that has to be temperature controlled. There's a lot of invested, not just to say, hey, throw that in your police car.
Right.
There's a lot of other things to take into consideration, training, which has been done. The reversals have been significant. But I will emphasize, if somebody has died, they have died. You know, and I've asked the question. You know, it is the last thing to try to save somebody. So Narcan, by the way, is available to anybody in the state of New Jersey, not just law enforcement or EMS workers. They have to get a prescription with their doctor and have the proper training. So if you're a family that has a history of heroin addiction or prescription drugs, that might be something to speak to your own doctor about, as they are working on trying to get the help that they need.
Right. Well, I know I you can't give enough accolades to our prosecutor.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I know from a mental health standpoint, he would much rather see someone go into a involuntary outpatient program than into the jail.
Correct.
I mean, yes, it has to be for, you know, quote unquote minor offense. I mean, they're not going to do it for, you know, armed robbery or anything, but, you know, like shoplifting or, you know, a minor burglary or something like that. And it's really helped. It's helped people.
Well, and like we were talking about, right? People who are, it is a brain disease. I think sometimes there's been that portrayal that it's their choice. Well, it is not the choice. When an addiction has started, It is not a choice just to say, oh, I can just instantly stop. By the way, like you try to instantly stop a heroin addiction, it's probably the worst flu-like symptoms of vomiting, you know, perspiration off the body, you know, violent cramping
fever.
In the body, fever. You know, it is really a horrible, horrible addiction. But it is part of a brain disease. There's been neuroscientists that have studied this. This is not coming, you know, from Leslie Gable saying, oh, it's a brain disease, they can't help it. Well, that's what the science and research is showing us now, especially with the heroin and the opiate addiction, because it's affecting the decision-making portions of the brain.
Right.
So when you take a prescription drug that's an opiate, it's the same region of the brain that heroin affects. So a lot of times people say, and I don't understand how that transition jumps to heroin, because it's the same.
And a lot of times people with mental health issues are in such pain that they'd rather either drink or use drugs to eliminate the pain of the mental health issue.
There's a lot of science also behind that these drugs also, those that are predispositioned for schizophrenia.
Right.
That there's a strong correlation between these opiate drugs and schizophrenia. So, again, this is the science is what it's telling us, not... You know, people just writing general articles. Jerry and I, in fact, were at a big conference down in Atlanta a few weeks ago, listening to the top neuroscientists in the United States discuss about the what is happening. Some new research is on the way. It still hasn't been approved yet, but they're hopefully coming up with a vaccine to monthly injections to help people who have these opiate addictions, because it is such that addiction is so powerful, and they find very few people are able to break that heroin cycle. It's
and
that,
help them stay in recovery.
Right.
Yeah, so they can get the help that they need. Like I said, this is not just a emotional, but this is also psychological and physical.
Right.
There's those three
it's
aspects.
It's a chronic illness, just as if you had diabetes
absolutely.
Or heart disease.
Absolutely. We have to take a quick break. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we have with us today Leslie Gable, who is a co-executive director of Hunterdon Prevention Resources, and Jerry Colavecchio.
Oh, good.
Wow, two for two. If I was playing baseball, I'd get millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Who's the senior director of Hunterdon Prevention Resources. And during the break, we were talking while the commercials were playing, and you had mentioned Ted Kennedy.
Patrick Kennedy.
Well, I'm sorry.
What's his son?
Yeah, he's
so
his
Patrick
son, right.
Patrick is son of Ted Kennedy.
Of Ted Kennedy. Would you like to elaborate a little bit on that?
Jerry and I were recently down at a summit in Atlanta, Georgia for a national substance abuse on prescription drugs. And one of their key speakers at night was Patrick Kennedy, which some people don't know is a resident here in the state of New Jersey, because his wife is from New Jersey. And he actually gave a very candid talk about mental health and co-occurring disorders and his own journey of alcohol and drug addiction and his road to recovery. And the reason he gave this talk, and it was, I tell you, there was over 1,000 people in this room, and very, very quiet, because we were quite engaged with him, because he talked about the stigma around himself and his very famous family and his family's name, what it was like for him to hide his mental health issues. And one of the things that he hopes to change in the United States, even through laws, is that is to try to help remove that stigma. And mental health is just as serious as a problem as is diabetes, and that families need to get the support to help people get the treatment that they need.
Right.
And also the funding and research behind mental health, as any other type of disease would get that funding and research. He also talked about how people that do have these mental health disorders, like himself, used alcohol and drugs to cope.
Right.
Because it was the only way that they figured out that they know that they could function or to try to fit in. So, and that's the reason why he was at this National RX Summit. Because some people say, where's the correlation? So that's why he was there. So I really encourage people, if they have a moment, to Google it online, Patrick Kennedy, mental health, around the Kennedy name, and you're going to find a lot of information online. And like I said, he was quite powerful about trying to help in the United States remove the stigma, and he's doing a good job. So hopefully, being from the state of New Jersey, we should all get behind that effort and help support that.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially with all the work that Nominee, and I know that you do, Larry, I wanted to make sure we mentioned his work.
Absolutely. And ironically enough, in Hunterdon County, with the population, we're supposed to have 36 psychiatrists.
Mm.
Now how many we have? 14.
That's
so when someone comes out of a hospital being confined for mental health issues, they should see a doctor within 24 hours. It's about 2 weeks. So in that 2 week period of time, they say, the hell with it. I'll go to the bar, or I'll go, on the street corner and get some pills and whatever. And it's just a shame. And I'm not blaming,
you're explaining a situation.
I'm just saying this is what it is.
You're underserved here.
And, and it's certainly needs to be addressed. I'm not saying that we're going to get 36 psychiatrists in the next 2 weeks, but at least it shouldn't have to be that they wait 2 weeks to see someone.
Well, we know, too, even in our line of work, when somebody's looking for a counseling appointment, that is normally the standard lead time is 2 weeks. And when we, I will say, as a nonprofit, we're fortunate that, people will just, we've got people, our staff, no one works their standard hours. We do what we have to do. We don't turn people away. But it also makes for a very tired staff. Because we are constantly doing what we can to support.
We have no paid help. We're all volunteers.
It is really, an amazing volunteers. Amazing the people that come behind. We talk about Hunterdon County being one of the healthiest, but and that's great. And we have lots of other resources.
We'd like to keep it that way.
We'd like to keep it, but I will tell you, one of the things that's constantly mentioned is not when it looks at alcohol and binge rates. If they really took a report card, like you said, and looked at the the population of do we have the type of doctors that are needed? But because we are resourceful, people do go outside, but they're leaving Hunterdon County to get the help that they need.
Yeah, and unfortunately, a lot of the psychiatrists don't take medication. Don't take insurance.
Insurance.
Yes.
And I hope the psychiatrists don't take medication. They don't take insurance. So where does this person go? They don't have a job. They're on either Medicare or Medicaid. Mm-hmm. And if the doctor doesn't take it, what are they supposed to do?
That's
a sad part.
Well, I think that's a nationwide conversation.
Oh, it is.
The medical, to try and use your insurance to go to some of these places, right? We talk about prevention and the help that they need, especially for smaller agencies. I can tell you, like ours, we just don't have the staffing behind medical billing.
Right.
It just isn't there. And the amount of so we certainly try to do anything we can to help somebody, make sure that they get the medical, their medical insurance reimbursement.
Right.
But I will tell you that that's the problem that small, doctors and offices probably have.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I understand.
It's not
that they're not willing to or trying to. It's just from a practicality of running a business, it's just too costly.
What is Crime Stoppers of Hunterdon County.
Well, Jerry and I, you just happen to have two board members also sitting right here in front of you. Crime Stoppers is a nonprofit agency, and what's its intent is to provide tip rewards for any information leading to an arrest and or indictment of crimes here locally in Hunterdon County. And I have to tell you, our crime rates, unfortunately, are up in the areas of burglaries, robberies. And why? It's because of the drugs.
Sure.
I just wanted to let you know that all the tips are anonymous.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, we are, you know, nobody on our board is involved with the law. We work in partnership with the prosecutor's office.
Mm-hmm.
We have liaisons also from the chief of police. And they provide us information only to say, hey, here's some of the crimes. We also, just so you know, have people that report on tips. Sometimes it's on things we're unaware of.
Right.
And what it does is those tips, by the way, all are through a third-party software system. So we don't see the information as citizens because that is all, obviously law enforcement sensitive. And we also work with other Crime Stoppers in other states. We've had tips that have led to arrests, and we just have a partnership recently now with another state that one of the tips read to an arrest of somebody here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been, it's growing, and we, in fact, are also doing some prevention work on April 28th, which I believe is next Tuesday. We have an event.
Tuesday.
We have an event here at the historic courthouse, and how to keep your business safe. If you want to find some information, it's HuntertonCrimeStoppers.com, and you can go in to find more information on how to register. But we're working in conjunction with the FBI and also the prosecutor's office, as well as some of our board members work with insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And software, also software systems for online security. So it's really going to be a great event. We're so fortunate to be able to bring this to the community. But we know that a lot of businesses have been hit. In fact, we've had a pharmacy here where prescription drugs were taken. So it is no one's really immune,
right.
Unfortunately. And home robberies and personal belongings take, they're looking for things that can turn that into cash quickly to buy the drugs.
Right. All right. I don't know what vaping is. What
Jerry,
is vaping?
Do you want to take vaping?
Vaping is very much used with an electronic cigarette or a vaping pen. And what they're using this for is for liquid nicotine, or they're also now using it for what we call dabbing or marijuana wax, which is about 70 to 90% THC, which is that's the ingredient or the drug that gives you the high.
As opposed to like in a standard joint back in the day, it was about an 18%. So when you want to talk about the effects of what the can be in a vape pen is significant. It is not a quick hit of like what you see with a THC. I mean, listen to that differences of potency, 18%. And now you're looking at anywhere between 70 and 90% with the way that they extract the buds off the marijuana plant. It is
and
astounding.
And that's through a... like electronic cigarette?
They do it through a process, and it attracts the oil out of the plant, and it becomes this wax, and that's what they smoke. So they put just what they call a dab. There's like an actual pen. It almost looks like a crochet hook that they take and put the wax inside the pen, and when it's heated up is when they start inhaling it. One of the dangers about this, besides being that the THC levels are so high, is that people don't realize it doesn't give off the aroma as much as if you were lighting a joint or smoking from
uh-huh,
a bong.
Uh-huh.
So, you see people walking down the street, you really have no idea what they are smoking. Is it the liquid nicotine or is it something stronger? And that means they're also keeping this away from parents don't realize what's
what they're
in these
in
pens as well.
Right. And where what is the VAP pens? What is that?
It looks like a thicker, larger pen is what they look at.
Okay.
You can buy them online. You can buy them in vape shops. They are technically sold legally. So to have, as Jerry was mentioning, liquid nicotine in it. You can also get an electronic cigarette is a little bit different than the vaping pen. But one of the things that I want to mention about the dangers of e-cigarettes is that the research, you know, they're out there ahead of the FDA as far as marketing them, that it's so much safer. You're not going to get all the toxins that you're going to get in your body because you're not smoking the leaves of tobacco. So the research, it has not been done yet, and it's in process about the harmful effects as far as other things that are in these the vaping in as far as these mm-hmm. e-cigarettes, right? But here's the thing. It's still nicotine.
Right.
It's still the cancer-causing.
Which is a drug.
Right.
Right? And it's very addictive. It is the same level of addiction as heroin. You know, you people don't understand how strong. We know people die from nicotine. The research is not out what's happening in these e-cigarettes as far as the other types of effects on the body. They're still going into the lungs. So, you know, they're marketing that it smells like candy, like cotton candy, like a Jolly Roger. So it puts off this pleasant aroma. So kids are getting, well, remember, our conversation was perception of harm. Right. There's a lessened perception of harm because they have a fresh smell to them that it can't be wrong. And you can, by the way, these e-cigarettes, you can order a free one online. You just check off a box saying, yes, I'm over 18. Well, how do they prove mm-hmm. that? So they're easy, accessible. They look cool. And as, I don't think they look cool, but the perception, especially to our youth. And what are they doing? They're getting kids hooked on nicotine.
And they're right. marketing it to our youth. And because of the amount of nicotine that is in there, they're finding that they're soon turning to cigarettes because there's not enough of the nicotine, but they're already addicted to the nicotine. So they need more, so they're turning to regular cigarettes. Many times they're sold as a cessation product, but it truly isn't.
And the cessations is what they use to
help quit smoking.
To quit smoking, but really you're trading one for another. And that's really what these e-cigarettes are. So we've been working with our schools, our youth coalition. We have a Safe Communities Youth Coalition who have been very active in providing information out, kind of a peer-to-peer to the teens. I really commend the high schools in our county, making sure they update their policies that, you know, you cannot have e-cigarettes, you know, in the campus.
Right.
I will also say, interesting, I just got off a flight, and now all the flights are saying, you know, there's no electronic devices like e-cigarettes mm-hmm. or vape pens allowed during the flights. It's taken a bit of time to catch up. We saw some restaurants, even locally here, thinking, oh, well, it's harmless. They're only an e-cigarette or a vape pen.
Right.
They're harmless. They are not harmless. As far as what's doing to the individual, now the second hand is really where all the what's coming out in the vape, you know, the vaporizing, you know, as mm-hmm. far as that. They don't know. The FDA is still researching that. So we don't know if somebody's sitting next to you vaping, what are those fumes doing to me? So we can't emphasize enough to parents, especially that see their kids with these e-cigarettes. There's a lot of harm with them. Like I said, the nicotine is there. It is so addictive. And then the vaping pens, nothing good comes out of a vape pen. That's kind of what we try to tell people. Is some of the other things is when we were talking about some of our other teens in their 18 to 25-year-old bracket, they said, you know, the biggest thing now is people offer you a hit of their vape pen. Well, the problem is you don't know what's in there. And so now you're taking a hit off of something. Are they putting something else laced in there? Because remember, these people that are the people that are the sellers, the distributors, what is their job is to get people hooked. And so they've found many different ways to distribute their product, right? So where there's a need and a want is where they'll make their money. And so vape pens, to me, you know, just especially what we've been trying to educate our community. The other thing that I just want to mention about vaping, it also refers to alcohol, right? So that's something that parents also in the community need to be alerted about, is vaping is a way to get alcohol in a form other than a liquid. So what they do is they put it over dry ice, and they're inhaling it. So why would you do that? Like someone said, okay, why do people do that? Well, what it does is it goes immediately into the lungs, mm-hmm. immediately into the bloodstream, and then straight to the brain. So they get the effect. So you might take to get like that binge drinking, you know, drunk high, it might take you over an hour to do 5 or 6 shots. With one vape and inhaling, I can now get almost, you know, 10 to 20 shots in that one inhaling. So here's the extreme danger, right? You drink alcohol, it goes through the digestive system, it goes through the small and the large intestines, it takes time. This is entering the bloodstream almost immediately. And it's so dangerous of people dying from this poisonous way of it getting right into their body. So how do they do that? You don't have dry ice. And anything I'm telling anybody would say, why are you telling people this on the radio? Because you can go on YouTube, just the way that Jerry and I find out some of these ways of going, have you heard of this? What are you doing? They actually sell vaping devices now for these. They also can put it into a bottle and use a water bottle and a bicycle pump. There's all sorts of techniques that these people will come up with. And, you know, Jerry was talking about the dabbing. I really, to educate yourself is to go on YouTube, look up dabbing, look up wet marijuana wax. By the way, it's like a gooey, tacky. It's just you only need the size of a pinhead, too, by the way, for that potency. You look at the vaping. You know, why do we need this? There's businesses opening up, vape shops. My son goes to college. Right across the street is a big vape shop.
There's one right here now in Flemington.
So
there is?
Yes.
Yeah. So this is a concern for us in the prevention world. I'm not saying that everybody that smokes an e-cigarette or a vape pen has something illegal in it. We're not saying that, but we're saying that the concern, the perception of harm as it lowers around these types of things, all these other things we've just mentioned has come in. And so we're extremely alarmed and very concerned about our youth, especially.
Sure.
And when we say
Absolutely.
Youth, we're talking about also 18 to 25
That's right.
year old. They're still our they're actually our most vulnerable population is that 18 to 25 year olds. There are more kids in our state seem to be really succumbing to, you know, all of these things that we're talking about.
And that's usually the age where mental health issues come out too, is between 18 and 25.
Yeah, and it starts, by the way, right? Where does it start? It doesn't start when I all of a sudden, I'm 20 years old. This is where it starts.
No.
We heard this stat, and I'll never forget this. It was a person who deals in recovery, and she said, listen, not every person that smokes marijuana becomes a heroin addict, but 99% of all my patients that are heroin addicts smoke pot.
Marijuana.
Yeah. So there's correlations. You know, there's
right.
not just a jump here, you know, let me just start abusing prescription drugs. The likelihood is that that they've tried something else. I've talked to people who are in drug court here in Hunterdon County, and I asked them for advice. I said, you know, what can we do in the prevention world? What can we do in our community? What advice would have helped you? And it's interesting of what they said is trying to scare kids and scare parents is really not the way to go.
Right.
Is to educate them, is to give them straight facts, because
give
what
them the
they
science.
Said... Yeah, to tell them, look, not, you know, if you do this, you know, you're going to die. It's terrible. And then they try one or two things. And this is the exact quote that I got back. Let's say I'm alive. I'm fine. So maybe I can keep doing these other things. Maybe the things I've learned about the harder stuff is not really true either. And you might say it's not logical. Well, show me any teen brain that is logical.
Well, you know, too, that the mental illness is a chemical imbalance of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so people are born with it.
That's correct.
It doesn't
yeah.
necessarily say that because you have it that you'll become mentally ill with schizophrenia or bipolar or anything like that. 9 times out of 10, it takes a trigger to set it off. Now, when I say a trigger, I know someone who have a chemical imbalance in their brain, and they lost their best pen, and that was their trigger. Losing a pen. I mean, other people, it could be an accident. I know somebody that had an accident and that caused it, so on and so forth. But losing a pen triggered it. And, you know, it just, but it usually, it triggers it between 18 and 25. Not to say that it doesn't happen sooner. Yes, it does. But, you know, I mean, I had doctors, two different doctors from two different medical practices tell me they had 3-year-olds attempt suicide. And I couldn't believe it. And
that's
I said,
heartbreaking.
You know, yeah, they don't believe that the 3-year-old knew they were committing suicide or attempting suicide. But there was something that was so hurtful to them that they wanted it to stop. And, you know, and all right, we've got about a minute left. In that last minute, you want to tell how, if someone needs to get a hold of you, would like to get a hold of you, either one of you, how they do that, whether it's email, phone, or whatever?
Yes, we can be reached at Hunterdon Prevention Resources. The number there is 908-782-3909, or we can be reached through our emails, which is J. Colavecchio, C-O-L-L-E-V-E-C-H-I-O, at HunterdonPrevention.com.
Might be easier, Jerry, I just know. A phone call.
Yeah, or Leslie Gables is lgable at HunterdonPrevention.com as well.
And also our website, which is SafeCoalition.org, is all about our coalition work and the initiatives that we talked about. You'll find Narcan, you'll find documentaries, some prevention. Also for our agency services, which we do have some counseling as well as other prevention education services of that you know people might be interested is HunterdonPrevention.com.
Just real quick, why don't you give the phone number again?
908-782-3909.
Jerry, Leslie, I can't thank you enough for coming on, and I will have you back. You will come back on.
Thank you for having us.
It's just something that I think that you can't educate the public enough about. You know, I think that it has to be done. And, you know, I really appreciate it.
I appreciate the opportunity. And as I said, you know, the best thing we can arm ourselves with is education.
Right, exactly. And like I said, I really appreciate it. And we will have you back.
Thank you.
I'm going to read a real quick thing. The Pattenberg House in Pattenberg, New Jersey is a Step Back from the Edge Fest, which is Sunday, May 17th from 2 to 7. And they're going to collect a $10 donation at the door, which will be given to NAMI Hunterdon. And there's going to be bands there, three bands at least, and acoustic performances. And you can bring the family. It's a Sunday afternoon from 2 to 7. So just wanted to get that out since my daughter's involved in it. You know, I told her I would. So you've been listening to Mental Health Matters, and I won't be here next week, but Richard G. will be filling in for me. And I just want you to know that, to remember that mental health really does matter. Thank you, folks.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
In America, we believe in a future that is better than today. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has been working hard for their clients' futures, never taking a bailout, helping generations achieve dreams, buy homes, put their kids through college, retire how they want to. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you feel more confident about your financial future. Put the strength of a global financial leader to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your dreams and goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated. Member FINRA and SIPC.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. Six young men in Minnesota and California have been charged with conspiring to provide material support to a foreign terrorist organization after attempting to get into Syria to join ISIS. U.S. Attorney Andrew Luger says it's a disturbing trend.
What this case shows is that the person radicalizing your son, your brother, your friend may not be a stranger. It may be their best friend right here in town.
Authorities say a handful of Minnesota residents have traveled to Syria in the past year and at least one has died. Rescue crews are searching for survivors in the Mediterranean. As many as 900 migrants are feared dead after a shipwreck near the Libyan coast over the weekend. AP correspondent Nicole Winfield says Libyan-based smugglers are notorious for using vessels that are too small.
These smugglers are using any kind of boat they can get their hands on. They use rubber dinghies, they use fishing boats.
Meanwhile, the UN is calling on European leaders to address the issue. This is USA Headline News.
Would you wait several days for your shower to get hot? Would you wait several days to feel the full effect of relief from your nasal congestion? Flonase Allergy Relief Nasal Spray could take that long.
Ugh.
But if you're congested now and you want powerful relief now, use Afrin No Drip. Afrin starts working in seconds and keeps working for 12 hours. So why wait several days to feel the full effect?
When
you can start to get relief in seconds with Afrin. Afrin, powerful congestion relief without the wait. Use as directed.
So you're sporting a brand new pre-owned GM vehicle. You notice the OnStar button and wonder, what if I push it? Do it. You'll get 3 months on us, a free trial of OnStar services, including automatic help in a crash and monthly diagnostic checks. The offer's good on 06 or newer OnStar inactive GM models. Just push the blue button and ask for 3 months free. It's also obligation free. Visit OnStar.com for coverage map, offer details, and system limitations.
Charges will not be filed against two Detroit area police officers involved in separate beatings caught on video. In January, a driver was repeatedly punched in the head during a traffic stop.
It is clear that he was a felon.